I want you to get your Bible out this evening. I want us to start out in 1 Timothy chapter number 5. We started lots and lots of weeks ago on the subject of relationships, and we're coming down to the end. Tonight I'm going to teach the first half of a two-part lesson, your relationships and social networking, or social media, as it's referred to as well. 1 Timothy chapter 5. Why don't you stand up with me real quick, and I'm going to read just a few verses here to us. 1 Timothy chapter 5, and we're going to start with verse number 9. 1 Timothy chapter 5, verse 9. Let not a widow be taken into the number under 80 years old, having been the wife of one man, well reported of for good works. If she have brought up children, if she have lodged strangers, if she have washed the saints' feet, if she have relieved the afflicted, if she have diligently followed after good work. But the younger widows refuse, for when they have begun to wax wanton against Christ, they will marry, having damnation, because they have cast off their first faith. Now, verse 13 is the verse that we wanted to get to. It says, and withal they learn to be idle, wandering about from house to house, not only idle, but tattlers, also in busybodies, speaking things which they ought not. That will help get us started tonight, and let's pray. Father, bless us. Help us, Lord, as we again tonight let the Bible train us and guide us and better us. Now, do a work, Holy Spirit, please. And we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. You can have a seat. Now, boys, listen. Sit down. Be quiet. And I don't want to hear any more noise out of you for the rest of the service. And I'm not trying to be mean to you, but everybody here wants you to pay real close attention so that they can pay close attention. All right? So you be real quiet and be real good over there. If you were listening to what we just read here from 1 Timothy chapter 5, It used these words. Now, of course, it was talking about a widow, and in this case, obviously, in reference to a lady. And it talks about a bunch of good works that a widow could be able to do, or could do, or should do. And then you get to verse 13, and it says, withal they learn to be idle. They learn to be idle. Now, let me warn you, folks, people with too much time on their hands can misuse their time. They get to wasting their life. It says, withal, they learn to be idle, wandering about from house to house. And let's talk about wandering about from house to house. It could be just going around and going to places that they're not wanted, or it's not. Maybe it's getting involved in things that are not their business to get involved in. But it says, not only idle, but tattlers. So it's beginning to talk about, they talk too much. Tattling, rambling, and then it talks about being busybodies, again, getting themselves involved in things that are not their business, and interjecting themselves into conversations and situations that they shouldn't be involved in. And then it says speaking things with which they ought not. They're just saying things they shouldn't say, and being places they should not be, involved in things that they should not be involved in. Now, obviously, the text that we're reading was in reference to widows, and it was telling the widows to be careful. But I don't think that this behavior is only a behavior of a widow. I think the behavior that was being explained there could be the behavior of anybody, a man or a woman. And look, if it's not right for a widow to behave like that, it's not right for a man to behave like that, or a married woman to behave like that, or for a teenager to behave like that. What's right is right, and what's wrong is wrong. But notice, because they're idle. In other words, they have too much time on their hands, or they're not using their time well. Next thing you know, they've got themselves into things that they shouldn't be involved in, saying things they shouldn't say, involved in people's lives and virtually people's home lives and everything, and they shouldn't be. Now, I want you to, well, I'm going to turn to another passage of Scripture, and you don't have to turn to it, but it's found in Matthew chapter 5. And I'm going to read to you verse number 37. Boys, don't try me over there. I told you I didn't want to hear from you again, so you be very, very quiet. Matthew chapter 5, verse number 37, it says, But let your communication be yea, yea, nay, nay, for whatsoever is more than these cometh of evil. Now, here, again, God is talking about our communication. And this is Jesus speaking, and he was telling them there's a right and a wrong way to communicate. And he even goes as far as to say, if you don't communicate right, you find yourself participating in evil. In evil. Now, sin and evil are a little bit different. Evil is when you start hurting people. Matter of fact, this Sunday night, my sermon, if the Lord continues to lead in the direction I'm going, we're going to talk about sin and evil and the difference in the two. But here he says, communication not handled right becomes evil. Earlier, we found out that people, they get idle, they get too much time on their hands, and before long, they're talking about, they're tattling, they're busybodies, they've got their nose in people's home lives and things that they shouldn't be involved in. Wow. You know, to some degree, that could look at maybe some of the negative behavior of people today that are involved in social networking or social media. Now, folks, the internet itself is not bad. To me, you've heard me compare it like this at maybe many months or a couple years ago, but I don't think guns are bad. Guns are not bad. And now people can be bad. It depends on in whose hand you find that gun. If it's a good person, the gun will be used for good and right. If it's a bad person, the gun could be used for bad and wrong. Let's face it, guns don't kill people. People kill people. And you know, they say, well, what's the answer? Well, I'm not talking about gun control tonight, but you want to take guns away from somebody, take it away from the bad people, not the good people. Now, the internet, I don't think the internet destroys people. I think people destroy people. I think we all know the internet and the use of the social media and the social networking that's out there. You know, it could be a very good thing if it were used properly, if it were used right. I did a little research, and as of now, Facebook is boasting that there are 2 billion people involved. Then Instagram says there's about 750 million people that are involved in Instagram. YouTube, it's about 1 billion people that are involved with YouTube. Twitter, 328 million. One called Reddit. Anybody ever heard of Reddit? R-E-D-I-T, Reddit, or maybe it's R-E-D-D-I-T, 250 million. Snapchat, 200 million. And then they throw Pinterest in there, and I didn't notice the numbers on Pinterest, but those are probably the top sites where people are involved in communicating with one another via the internet. And tonight the whole lesson is about our relationships and our behavior when we are socializing using the internet to do that socializing. Could I give you a warning? Now, when I was growing up, and most of the adults in this room, when they were growing up, you found your spouse without an internet. You found your spouse without an internet. You found them because, now the best place to do it is to find them in a church of like faith, either yours or another. But some of you went to a school or went to a college, and that's where you found your spouse. There are a lot of dangers of the new trend of online dating. People go online dating, looking for a spouse or looking for someone to date. But let me warn you, you start doing something like that, you're going to have to deal with a lot of lies. There's false identities. Maybe one of the greatest causes of identity theft is people and their social communication on the internet and giving out too much information to people that they don't even know. And probably as they're looking at a picture of someone they think they're communicating with, it's not even their picture and it's not their real name. And there's a lot of lying. There's a lot of deception that goes on. And it causes a lot of identity theft. Let me warn you, you go on a dating site and you say, well, it's a Christian site. I'm going to say something about that in a moment. But you're going to have to deal with false identities. You're going to have to deal with the fear of identity theft. You're going to have to deal with the possibility of endangering your children or even endangering your spouse. You know, as someone that's married that goes out searching for someone on the internet, but they're already married, you do understand that if someone took a liking to you but didn't like your spouse, you could endanger them. And I'm talking about physically. You do understand we live in a violent, weird, wild world where people they don't have much in regard to morals and common sense anymore. Then, if you're not careful, you get involved and searching the internet, trying to find somebody. You're desperate for a man or desperate for a woman. You may find yourself with a stalker, and you won't be desperate for company anymore. You could put yourself in physical danger. You can get drawn into their criminal activity. I've watched a lot of people that just got duffed into activity that they didn't even really know that they were involved in, but because they got involved with the wrong kind of person. Now, let me tell you this. There's just one thing I want to say about what we'll call the Christian so-called dating sites. You all do realize that when they call a dating website a Christian website, they have no concept of what Christianity is. You know, when they put on their Christian, love God, love church. Well, what God, what church, what Bible, what kind of background? It's going to be pretty rare you're going to find an old-fashioned, independent, fundamental, King James Bible, separated, I go soul winning, I run bus routes person on there. You do realize that, right? But because it said Christian, you said, I found my wife. I found my husband. You know, most people call themselves a Christian because they live in America. Well, I'm born in America. I'm a Christian. Well, if you were born in a garage, you would not be a car. So just to warn you, and it's out there, and I know of a couple of what I call old-time fundamentalists that found somebody on a Christian website that turned out to be halfway decent, and they started a relationship with them. But there are thousands that hoped to find, that didn't find, and there are others that went to find, and now they're not even in church anymore because they got drawn astray because of a so-called Christian dating website. Well, the lesson is about our relationships in regard to using the internet. And these things like Facebook and Twitter and you know, I did not realize it, but as I looked a little further, people can communicate through Pinterest, and there's just many, many different ways that people can use the internet to socialize. And again, I think it's the right terminology. We're talking about social media or social networking, the communication using the internet to socialize with people. Well, we're going to have to face it, folks. It's here to stay. I don't think it's going anywhere. And it can be used as a tool for good. It can be used as a tool for God. Boy, if you had family members or friends that were on the mission field, what a great thing to be able to FaceTime with a missionary. If you've got family that live in another part of the country, oh, isn't it just fantastic that you can FaceTime with them and you can see them and them with you, that them see you and you can communicate. And wow, it can be a wonderful thing. But it's like anything else. If it is not given some biblical guidelines, it turns into a mess. If you do not set up some guidelines in regard to your involvement, then you will get off track. You won't naturally just happen to do everything you're supposed to do. You're going to have to let the Bible be your guide and let the Bible help you to do the right thing in regard to the relationships that you develop out there in the internet world, if you will. Now, what I'll say tonight And next week, anybody could say it. There's no doubt in my mind about it. But somebody does need to say it, and it needs to be said so that we're cautious and careful in how we handle ourselves. So we're going to go about halfway through the lesson that I had prepared tonight, and then we're going to teach some more next week. But first of all, let me tell you this. Number one, you should seek to glorify God through your social media involvement and your relationships with people on the internet. If you have a Bible with you, and let's turn to a few verses, if you will. I want you to take your Bible, and I want you to turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse number 31. 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse number 31. 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse number 31. And I said this. I said, number one, you should seek to glorify God through your social media involvement or your relationships. 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse number 31, it says this. Whether therefore you eat or drink or whatsoever you do, do all to the glory of God. Now, there's almost an attitude that developed when everyone started Facebooking, and I think MySpace was one of the original big hot items at one point. It was almost as if this was something that we would do, and really it had nothing to do with God, and we're going to go live this part of our life, and let's keep church and God out of it. I'm sorry, God's not supposed to stay out of anything. God's supposed to be involved in everything. And so if you're going to be involved, if you're going to be involved in Facebook, if you're going to be involved in Twitter, you're going to be involved in MySpace, if you will, or Snapchat, you ought to understand everything you do on the internet, it ought to glorify God. It ought to glorify God. You say, well, I'm not really interested in glorifying God. Then you're going to end up in a mess, because you and I as Christians, that's one of our honors, but it's also one of our responsibilities and obligations is to glorify God. So if right now on your device, whether it's your iPad or it's your telephone, your smartphone, if there's anything you're involved in that does not glorify God, you're wrong. And it ought to glorify God. Then, number two, you should be filled with the Spirit of God if you're going to be involved in relationships with people via the internet. I happen to believe you're supposed to walk in the Spirit no matter what. But you'd be shocked at how many people want to leave God out of what they're doing. So, you say, Pastor, I would like to guard myself. I've got a Facebook account, or I communicate with people via one of these sources. Let me tell you, you want to really be safe? You better walk in the Spirit. You better let the Spirit of God guide you. Take your Bible and turn to Romans chapter 8, verse number 5. Romans chapter 8. Verse number 5. In Romans chapter 8, verse number 5, it says, "For they that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh, but they that are after the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace." Now, I'm going to say something about this later on. Folks, and look up at me and listen to me for just a second. I will probably throw an ever-loving fit about this point when I get to it, but I want you to notice there that it says that to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. I get so tired of all of the emotional trauma that people bring on themselves through Facebook. You know, God said, if you were spiritually minded, there would be peace in the basic communication in your life. You realize there are people sitting under the sound of my voice. You're so involved in Facebook. You're so involved in all these relationships. It's emotional roller coaster all day long. All the junk you say and take in, and you can't control your emotions. You're depressed because of it. Well, if you were walking in the Spirit, you wouldn't be dealing with that sort of a thing. Matter of fact, there'd be some things on And I'll refer to Facebook a lot because, of course, there are 2 billion people involved, and that is probably predominantly, if you're a part of social media, you're probably a part of Facebook. And let me tell you something. If Facebook depresses you, what are you doing? Christians are supposed to be victorious. So I said, number one, we should glorify God in our involvement, and if it doesn't bring glory to God, we shouldn't be doing it. And folks, that's a real simple concept of Christianity. You don't have to be the sharpest crayon in the box to understand that. Everything you do should glorify God. If there's anything on your device, if there's anything in your social media communication that doesn't glorify God, stop it. It's wrong. It's supposed to glorify God. Secondly, you should be filled with the Spirit when you're participating. You say, why? Because if you're not filled with the Spirit, you're doing it in the flesh. So you're carnal in what you're doing. And you do understand what your carnal nature will lead you to say, lead you to do, lead you to think, lead you to post, lead you to chase after. Your flesh is not your friend, it's your enemy. You do realize that. So let me ask you, those of you that are addicts, do you submit yourself to the Holy Spirit before you dig in to the words that you're reading and sending? You say, well, Pastor, you always have a stricter version of everything than everyone else. You can think that all you want, but I'm going to guarantee you, God's version of it is far more strict than mine. Far more strict. And you shouldn't let something like this destroy you. It can be good if it's used right. I don't see anything wrong with a pastor saying you shouldn't be doing it if it doesn't glorify God. Isn't that some of the simplest of Christianity? Isn't that just simple Christianity? Is there really anything wrong with a pastor saying you ought to be filled with the Spirit while you're on Instagram? I guess that's okay, isn't it? Could we allow the Holy Spirit to control us while we're twittering? I guess that's not unreasonable. Do you? But because if you don't, you're doing it in the flesh. And no wonder it's become a problem to you. Or if it's not, it's probably because you are walking in the Spirit. And it is being used for good. And it doesn't depress you. And it's a real wholesome, godly, revivalistic communication. But I haven't found that to be the case in most cases. All right? So I said, number one, it should glorify God. Number two, you should walk in the Spirit. Number three, nothing that you read or post in your social media relationships should be unscriptural. Amen. Nothing should be unscriptural. Now, this is just basic Christianity. Nothing should be unscriptural. Take your Bible and turn to Psalm 19. Psalm 19, and we're going to look at verse number 14. This is one of my favorite verses in the Bible. I really like Psalm 19, 14. Psalm 19, 14. I said, nothing that you read or post in your internet relationships should be unscriptural. Psalm 19, verse number 14, it says, let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my strength and my Redeemer. Now, if we break that verse down, it says the words of my mouth. Now, you do understand that it's not just the words of your mouth, it's the words of your fingers, what you type. But because of Siri and the ability to speak into your device, and it will actually write down what you say, this still applies. But the words of my mouth, then the meditation of my heart. But God even goes as far, it's not just what you say, but it's what you think. He wants control of what nobody can see. So, ladies, I would watch your unclean fantasy. We go on. He said, let the words of my mouth and meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight. I promise you, when it says his sight, he expects more than the preacher does. Young people, he expects more than your mother expects of you in regard to the cleanness of what you do while you're on the internet, while you're socializing through whatever chat room or whatever email or, well, the texting and the whole nine yards. Mama might want something that's clean, and you say, well, my mother's ridiculous about what she requires. Not as ridiculous as what God is. What Dad wants is minimal compared to what God would require. Let the words of my mouth, the meditation of my heart, be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. Now let me tell you something. If you'll do what God said, you will have that strength that you need. So, I said, number one, make sure that what you do glorifies God, 1 Corinthians 10:31. I said, number two, if you'll do it in the Spirit, you'll keep yourself safe and you won't be in the flesh, Romans chapter 8, verse number 5. I said you should not read or post anything in your internet relationships that's unscriptural, Psalm 19, verse number 14. Next, your social media exchanges should build people up, not tear people down. They should build people up, not tear people down. Turn to James chapter 3, verse number 10. James chapter 3, verse number 10. I said your exchanges, your involvement should build people up, not tear people down. And we're going to James chapter 3, verse number 10. And the Bible says, out of the same mouth proceedeth blessing and cursing. My brethren, these things ought not to be, ought not so to be. You know, from all that I've seen, Mrs. Owens and I, we have, what's it called again? we have a Facebook account. We've never used it. Someone's helped us to set it up. Matter of fact, I had somebody set one up for me one time, and I didn't even know it was set up. I don't even know what's on there. But I know that I've got a Facebook account. I think it's got my picture up there. Now, what all is on the inside, I have no idea. I don't really know how it works. But I have seen exchange where people have shown me exchange on their computer about Facebook and how people communicate back and forth and the friending and things like that. And so let me tell you this. I hear constantly, people will talk and it'll be positive, and the next thing you know, it turns sour and goes negative and it becomes very, very vicious. Folks, you know, our words are to be used to make people better, not to destroy people, not to make people worse. And the Bible here is saying, you know, you talk one minute and you're talking and you're a blessing, and the next minute you're a curse. And God said, it ought not to be that way. That's not how Christians are supposed to be. So let me tell you, while you're having these relationships through the internet, I would be trying to make people better, not make people worse. There's some of you, the reason why you do struggle with some of your depression is because you talk negative all the time and you read negative things all the time. And what you call your friends, there's so much negativity that you don't have victory in your life. It's because you listen to too many negative things and you say too many negative things. So I said, number one, let it glorify God. Number two, walk in the Spirit. Number three, anything you read or post should not be unscriptural. Number four, don't use your social communication on the internet. Don't use it to tear people down. It's almost, from what I can tell, it's sometimes when people get nasty and mean, it's almost a free for all. It's like a bunch of sharks in a feeding frenzy. And people just start ripping on one another, and they're rude, and they're curt, and they're hateful. Folks, I could not have a good spirit as a Christian and participate in that kind of junk all the time. I just could not. And as some of you, that's going to rot your brain out. And there are husbands and wives that fuss, not necessarily because they had something worth fussing about. They've been on Facebook and developed a bad attitude and drug it into their marital relationship. There are kids that are on it. They develop an attitude on it, and it comes out at home. And so now there's tension between young people and parents just because of the vicious hatefulness that can develop. And you say, well, preacher, why is that? I mean, aren't people hateful and vicious? Yes, but when there's nobody there to keep you in check, when you're all alone, you pretty well can absorb and act and say what you want because you don't feel responsible. Well, I've got news for you. If you said it, you're responsible. Yeah, but I didn't say it to their face. Well, you big fat coward. You really think that makes you powerful? That makes you weak. You said it behind their back. You said it because you knew you didn't have to face them. I wonder how many things people would say if they had to say it to the face. There's cowardice in that. But what I'm telling you is that when you do that, you're tearing down, not building up. All you have to do is study the influence that Christians are supposed to have on one another. We're to edify. We're to build up. You and I are not to have social exchange and you walk away every time depressed, hateful, mad, hopeless, helpless, suicidal. Let's go on. Number five, your social media relationships should not be full of your complaining. Your complaining, your griping, your dissatisfaction. I want you to turn to Philippians chapter 2, verse number 14. Oh, and I will apologize. I know there are a handful of you. You say, I don't even know anything about this. What are you talking about, Facebook? But I think it's here to stay. I do not think Facebook is bad. I think people can be bad. And so I'm not attacking the existence of Facebook. I'm not attacking the existence of social media. I think it can be very, very good. But if we misbehave, then it becomes bad. I said this, I do not think that your exchange with people on the internet ought to be full of your griping and your complaining. Philippians chapter 2, verse number 14, it says, do all things without murmuring and disputings. And I could go on, I could give you verses all night long. But you know what? From what I gather and from what I've seen, I do a lot of counseling. And you might say, Pastor, I don't even think you ought to be teaching on this since you don't even know what it's all about. Will you just watch for the next 2 weeks and see if we don't hit the nail on the head because you're not brilliant because you know about Facebook. You want to know what righteous thinking is? You get it from the Bible. You don't even have to go to the hog trough of the world to figure out what's going on. You just teach the Bible right, and it's going to affect what goes on in this world. This Bible still applies today. It was written a long, long time ago. And you say, well, Jesus needs to be updated. Jesus knows everything. He always has and He always will. But here the Bible talks about our conversations being full of murmurings and disputings. And in my counseling, I'll have people say to me, they'll say, well, I was talking to so-and-so on Facebook, and I was telling them about this and about that and about this and about that. You know, everything they were talking about was their griping and complaining. You're just so desperate to vent about what you don't like and what you don't have, you found an outlet and you think it's okay. But it's not. You're just a negative griper, and you seem to think that because you're doing it on Facebook that it's fine. And it's not. Good night. I don't know if you're all mad at me, you're asleep, or if what I just said about the Bible knowing exactly what we need in this day and age is true. But boy, I'll have people say to me, they'll say, well, then so-and-so told me about this and about that and about this and about that, and every bit of it was negative. I hardly ever have somebody come running to me and say, Pastor, you wouldn't believe all the wonderful things that somebody just told me about the victories of God and all the wonderful things happening in their Christian life. I just read it on Facebook. No, it's usually, this is bad, that's bad, this is bad, that's bad. I don't like this, I don't have that, I don't like this. Facebook was, if you want to be right with God, it's not a place where you vent about everything you don't have, what you don't like, all your covetousness and your dissatisfaction of life. Yes, sir. I don't think you ought to say, and you'll hear me say this later, I don't think you ought to say anything on it that you wouldn't say in church. Amen. Okay, going to another point. And the sad part about this is we've broken it into 2 weeks. I'm saving the good stuff for next week. Okay, so I said, number one, it ought to glorify God. That's reasonable for Christians. I said, number two, we ought to walk in the Spirit so that we're not practicing and communicating in these relationships in the flesh. I said number three, we should post or read nothing that's unscriptural or contrary to Scripture. Number four, what we post or what we read, our communication, ought to build up, not tear people down. Number five, it should not be our platform for our complaining, our griping, and our venting. Number six, I do not think that your social media and in those relationships ought to be a place for you to pridefully brag about yourself. Pridefully brag about yourself. Take your Bible and turn to Proverbs chapter 27. Proverbs chapter 27. I'll tell you, most of the time, if we're griping about someone else, we're lifting up ourselves. You know, you don't usually gripe about someone that has your identical weakness. You gripe about someone that you think you're superior to. But the Bible says in Proverbs 27:2, let another man praise thee, and not thine own mouth. A stranger, and not thine own lips. May I recommend to everybody, just because you can communicate via the internet and you're not with someone and you're not looking at them physically and you're not looking in their eye, you're still not supposed to be telling them how wonderful you are and how great you are and how marvelous you are and how bad everybody else is. And though I don't know everything about Facebook and Twitter and all of that, but I'll just about guarantee you it's filled of people puffing up and letting everybody know how wonderful they are. Well, pride's still wrong. And lifting oneself up, you say, well, who am I supposed to lift up? How about Jesus? How about somebody else? Because the Bible said, let another man praise thee. But I'd be shocked if the whole system is not full of self-exaltation, bragging on self. Me, me, me. Look how wonderful I am and what I know. And all those bad people, I'm better than them, and I just happen to know who they are. Okay, maybe one or two more. I said, let it glorify God. Walk in the Spirit while you participate. Don't do, read, post anything unscriptural. You should not be tearing down, but building people up. It should not be your platform for all your complaining and venting. It should not be a platform on which you take advantage of bragging on yourself and lifting yourself up and you being full of pride. Then, this is somewhat connected to another point, but I think number seven, I don't think your social media relationships should be a place where you spend your time expressing your discontent and your covetousness. We won't go to it because I've already kind of touched on it. But in 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse number 6, it tells you we need to learn to be satisfied with what we have. And again, I think because nobody's around, we get to do it in private. We're not looking at somebody face to face. We think it's okay to misbehave and make known our covetousness and make known our discontent. Let me give you one more. One more. I want you to turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse number 2. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse number 2. Oops. And the point is this. You should post nothing for a few that you would not want everyone to see. You should post nothing for a few that you wouldn't want everyone to see. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse number 2, says this, but have renounced the hidden things of dishonesty, not walking in craftiness, nor handling the word of God deceitfully, but by manifestation of the truth. Now, look back at me, if you will, and let me explain something to you. I think everybody's aware of the fact that we just went through a presidential election where almost every other day people were tapping into email systems and letting the entire world know what was there. And just so you know, when you are posting things and when you are writing things and you feel secure that nobody else is going to see it, you've got the wrong security. That's not the case. And I've watched many people writing and exchanging both emails and Facebook things, and that gets out of hand, and it goes places it should not go, and people see things that you'll embarrass yourself and you'll hurt people. So could I recommend that it only makes sense that you not say anything to anybody that you wouldn't want everybody to know? The Bible talks about deceitfulness. The Bible here talks about the hidden things of dishonesty. Look at Luke chapter 8, verse number 17. Luke chapter 8, the Bible says this. Luke chapter 8, verse 17, for nothing is secret that shall not be made manifest, neither anything hid that shall not be known and come abroad. Now, let me explain something, folks. I cannot tell you how many times I've had people say to me information that I shouldn't have had got into the hands of people that I didn't intend to see it. And I've hurt some people. Happens all the time. I realize that you know, they'll tell you that nobody has access to, you know, it's just you and your friends and nobody has access to those other things. You might want to tell Hillary Clinton that. Matter of fact, all you have to do is watch the news on a regular basis and you will find out there are people that have access to whatever they want to have access to. And young people, You get to messing around and saying things with your friends that you should not say. And I think some of you think mom and dad are stupid and they'll never figure it out. Well, you might be shocked what mom and dad can figure out. And husbands that hide things from wives and wives that hide things from husbands, it's wrong. Shouldn't be thinking that way anyway. But I would just recommend that you not go around writing things to people that you don't want everybody to see, because everybody may end up seeing it. Let me ask you something. With what you have in regard to your communication through the internet, would you let me read everything that you have going on? Will you let me read it? Can I see it, please? He said, oh no, Pastor. Jesus already knows about it. And so do other people. I don't think you understand. You post things to people that you call your friends who know your pastor. You post pictures of yourself dressed in ways you should not be dressed, but because your pastor, I'm not your friend, you know, I've not been friended. You'd be shocked what I see and hear. He said, well, I thought you don't know anything about it. Obviously, I don't. Except for what God tells me. And what is obvious. Listen, I don't think you ought to be saying or posting anything that you wouldn't want everybody to know about. You say, why? There are far more people know about it than what you think. You do know that people can take a picture of it and just send it that you were associated with it. Just send it all over the place. And by the way, they do. So what I'm telling you is I think Facebook, I think Instagram, I think Twitter, I think it could be a tremendous positive tool. It could be used in a powerful way. But if you don't get some guidelines that are scriptural, it'll end up being a mess. I don't think the telephone is sinful. I think people are sinful. But if people misuse it, then it becomes sinful in their hands. So listen, I said make sure it glorifies God. I said make sure that you're filled with the Spirit. so that you're not in the flesh. I said, don't read or post anything that's unscriptural. I said, make sure you're building up, not tearing down. I said, make sure that you're not, it's not full of your venting and complaining, because finally you have someone that'll listen. I said, make sure you're not bragging on yourself or full of pride. I said, make sure it's not your platform for your discontent and your covetousness. And then finally, and again, I promise you, this was the last point, you should not post anything for a few that you would not want everyone to see, because from what I'm finding out, more people see it than what you expected. And that'll get you into trouble. Next week, I want to talk to you more, because this is it's a very big deal. I think I have more struggles keeping people right with God in the church right now because of social networking than almost any other thing. Because we've got access to so much that is out of hand. I've watched churches destroyed because of social networking and gossip and attacks and, oh, good gravy, it could get terrible. So, the Lord said, let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. If you remember where we started out in 1 Timothy chapter 5, we talked about the widow. But God said, now be careful, widow. If you're idle, you have too much time on your hands. All of a sudden, you're tattling. You're talking about things you just shouldn't be talking about. You're involved in people's households and you shouldn't even be involved. And God was warning to be careful with our words and our conversation and our exchange. And I think it applies very well to these forms of communication. I'm not against them. I'm against them being used wrongly. Let's bow our heads and close our eyes. Every head bowed, every eye closed. I think there are people here tonight, you said, Pastor, this really, it's a good teaching and I like it, but I don't have anything to do with it. And good for you. But you need to be careful also. You need to be careful with your telephone. You need to be careful with your mind. But yet there are others. You live at this. You're very deeply involved. There's some of you, matter of fact, there's some of you, it's almost your only life. It's your only life. Let the teaching of the Scripture help you to stay clean and safe and pure. It will ruin you and your attitude if you're not careful. Who here tonight would say, Preacher, I've learned something tonight. I've been challenged tonight. And I see that God has some guidelines that we ought to follow in regard to our involvement with our communication, our relationships via the Internet. And you'll raise your hand and let God see it. Yeah, we all need some challenge. We're going to have an altar call. It won't last long. Won't be long. We'll be on our way. The pianist will begin to play. Let's stand to our feet with our heads bowed and our eyes closed. If you need the altar, you come. Oh, just let me warn you. Guard yourself. Be careful. You know, when I told you, don't say anything to a few that you don't want everybody to hear. I just want to tell you something, folks. You're going to be shocked how often things you've said have gotten out of hand and that other people seen them. God said a bunch of busybodies, tattlers, people with way too much time on their hands. Some of you are addicts. You are addicted to social media. It's all you do. It's all you think about. It's your whole life. Well, I got news for you. God ought to be your whole life. The local New Testament church is what you build your life around. Ushers, I think we have some prayer sheets, and if so, we'll get them to some folks in just a moment.